Thanks, Brandon, for reminding me. You have to remind me every week now, don't you? Sometimes. Pretty much, yeah. It's getting that way. Anyway, so that's the soapbox for those online. That's what we're talking about today is a soapbox. It was a box that they had soap in that people would use to stand on for a stage. Basically what it was. And to part of the definition is to, you know, give out your opinion often in the annoyance of the crowd. So I'm going to be on my soapbox today. Hopefully it doesn't annoy the crowd, but it's something that I want to get on, and I'm probably going to be on it for a while today. So bear with me if I beat the dead horse, and just roll with me. Verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this gathering of the saints here this morning, Lord. I thank you for the brethren in Glendive here, Lord, that are just working to further your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for the brethren around the world that are doing a likewise mission, Lord, that are fighting alongside of us in the spiritual world. To snatch those out of the fire, Lord, to bring them into your kingdom, that they might have that hope and that peace that only you can bring, Lord. Lord, we know that you have sent your Son to us, Lord. That he came, Lord. That he lived this life as an example for us, but Lord, to save us. And Lord, I just thank you so much that he conquered death, he conquered this world, and that he is on his throne today. I pray that our time together is glorifying to you, encouraging you to one another, Lord. And I pray that the words that I speak this morning, Lord, are from you and come across in a way that can encourage those listening. Lord, I just thank you again for your Son, and we pray these things in his most holy name. Amen. Okay, so last week we touched on this just a little bit. We touched about the persecution. We went through the places where Paul was persecuted that he mentions here. We went into Acts and talked about those and how he went and he was persecuted in those towns. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was run out. All this different stuff. And he returned back to those towns to preach the gospel. Because even though in the face of crisis, in the face of persecution, the only way that you can go is forward. You have got to continue on teaching the gospel and preaching the word of God to the people. Even though they might hate you for it, there's nothing else to do. You can't turn around and run back. You got to keep going forward. That's what we're supposed to do. Paul went through all sorts of persecution. He went through all sorts of trials, but he continued with the same path. He continued moving forward to receive that crown of righteousness. And we're in a similar situation that we believe has a chance of coming. I still have a little bit of hope for good people, but I'm losing a lot of hope all the time for the state of the world. Now, I fully understand that whether or not the United States falls before Christ returns or not, it's going to be destroyed. So I have no faith in the United States of America being anything to do with spiritual is the spiritual kingdom of Christ. But we do have freedoms right now, while they may be dwindling, to still do some things. Nobody's at the door this morning with a gun not letting us in. That happens in places. In fact, they don't have buildings in some places because they can't have buildings in some places, or they just get arrested. So they meet secretly. But they still preach the gospel. And that's something that we have to do. And as we see the world coming and America going down that path that a lot of the other countries have went, and we can see that we might receive persecution, maybe not in everybody's lifetime here, but maybe in somebody's lifetime. Maybe it's my lifetime. Maybe it's, you know, it's a lot less of a chance, but maybe Brandon's lifetime, just because he's that much older. But there's a chance. But maybe it's our children's lifetime, you know. But there probably is going to be persecution in Glendive, Montana, and not just verbal abuse from friends or anything like that. It's going to be physical abuse and physical persecution, possibly in Glendive, Montana, possibly in some of our lifetimes. We have to be prepared for that, and we have to continue to move forward. But I'm going to remind you again that I reminded last week, and this is where the soapbox is going to come in. there's always been evil in this world. We think about the things that have happened in America and how we're going down, we're swirling, ready to drop down, and all of the bad stuff that's going on, and the terrible evil that we see in the United States that's coming. It's been around. It's not new to the United States. The United States isn't the first ones to bring in evil. It's been around since the beginning of the world. It's been around. Sodom and Gomorrah, those guys were pretty messed up. The Corinthians were pretty messed up. America is getting pretty messed up. The world's getting pretty messed up, but the world has been messed up. There's always been evil in this world, and we will always have evil in this world, and that is why we want to leave this world to go to heaven, so we can get away from it. But this world will pass away, and our job is to continue to move forward. So thinking on that, we talked last week a little bit about how it's always been around. One of the new things that's getting pretty popular now, I know a lot of people pulling their kids out of school, right? I think all of us probably know somebody who's pulled their kids out of the public school systems to put them in, maybe whether it be a private school, whether it be a Christian school, whether it be homeschool, whatever it is. And this is something that I've been hearing. Well, the schools have just gotten so bad. I'm going to tell you right now, the schools have been bad for a long time. I'll just ask Dad. When you were a kid, Dad, what did your science teacher believe? That we came from monkeys. That is not new, people. If you don't know, Dad wasn't in school last week. It's been a little while. It's not new. The evil teachings have been around for a long time, and it's been hammered into our children that have been sent to those places. I'm just like seven soapboxes I'm on today, okay? This is one that really bugs me. Sending your kids to public schools to be little missionaries. Absolutely drives me insane to do that thought. Absolutely drives me insane to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not just schools. Like, if you're a young adult and go into certain work, you shouldn't do it. I was a reserve deputy in Glendive, Montana for about three years. I'm going to tell you right now that if I was in a different spot in my walk with Christ than when I was there, I might have really had a hard time. Because you want to talk about a bunch of people with type A personalities doing that type of work? I mean, it's rough. I mean, it is absolutely rough. And it's something that I would never send my child in to do that type of a job or even be around. And I've got some really good friends that are deputies. I spend a lot of time with them, and I respect them a lot. But they're some rough crowd, man. And it's not just cops. It's not just different jobs. I'm just saying that we have to pay attention to where we encourage our children to go. If my child's going to go to college, Weston has this great plan. He's going to go to college. He's going to play baseball in college so he can play in the major leagues, because that's his only chance of playing baseball on Ryland's team. Because he's old. So he's got the plan, and I like it. But I'm not going to encourage him to go to college unless it's for a certain purpose. Because if you haven't noticed, our colleges are just as bad. And it's not just, for lack of a better term, secular colleges, but Christian colleges too. I went to a Bible college, was a one-year guy, came home with a certificate in biblical foundations and a wife. So that was good. That school, if I went back and all the people that were in my class, there's possibly one who is still a walk in the faith. And I would have a really hard time having that person do much around my kids, because he's that rough. And all went to Bible college, all in my class. One person still around. And he's somebody that I talk to quite a bit, trying to pull back off the ledge. So it's not just exclusive to secular colleges. It's college. It's school. It's teaching. Whenever you send your kids into something, whether it be sports, whether it be school, whether it be friends, whether it be music, whatever it is, we have to be careful where we send them and who their influence are. When we were kids, of course, we never really spent the night at other people's places because we live so far away. But you have to be careful about who you send kids with. You have to be careful about who your kids spend the night with. Because it's not just, that night they're going to become evil people. But the more that you spend time with certain people, with your children, the more influence that is. Dad's favorite line when me and Kirk would always leave, bad company corrupts good morals. Every time we left the house, that's what it was. And I've told you guys that 100 times probably. But it was very true. Bad company corrupts good morals. And if we want to send our kids, kindergartners, first, second, third graders, those kids, I could take a high school kid right now in Glendive, and I could give me like 3 hours with him, and I could make him change his whole entire belief system. I bet you a lot of money that I could do that. Easily. You don't tell me that you're going to send your kids 8 hours a day, 4 or 5 days a week, whatever school you're in, and they're not going to come back with some influence? And I've heard the saying, the small town schools are better. I'm from a small town. My dad's a senator, and I didn't include him on all my questions this morning. I want to ask him a couple. Okay, so do you get not necessarily hate mail, but opposition mail from people in Weeble?
Yeah.
How many would you say? A couple?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. What would the people take the top few and say that they send you the most amount? What is their occupation?
Teachers.
Teachers in Weeble High School, Weeble Elementary School, Weeble Junior High, small school. I think there's great teachers. There absolutely is great teachers, but there is some really bad teachers too. When I was, another side of it that I've been told, especially when people found out I was homeschooling my kids, was, well, I hope you teach them the other side too. Now, I'm all for understanding the other side in certain aspects, but you can't just understand the other side. You absolutely have to understand truth, or you're not going to be able to oppose the other side. Somebody actually mentioned to me one time that she said, can you do this for me? Can you teach your kids about evolution so that they know how to combat it? Nope, not going to do it. Absolutely not going to do it. I'm not going to encourage my sons to have to date fellas just so they can appreciate their wife. And that is exactly the same thing, is what that is. Teaching our kids evil so they can combat evil is not good. Especially if you've not taught them good. You have got to understand the truth, you have to understand the scriptures, and you have to understand the right before you can understand the wrong. I don't know if it's even true or not. An old saying about the FBI, and they study the $20 bill so they know every bit of it, so that they don't study all the counterfeits, they study the $20 bill so that when they see the counterfeit, they know it's counterfeit because it's not like the original. I don't know if that's true or not. It makes a lot of sense to me, and it works perfectly in the sermon, so I'm going to use it. But if we know what is good, when evil comes in, we will understand what it is because we will have already had the standard knowing what good is. But when we send our 7-year-old into the public schools, they're not going to know. They don't know what good is yet. There's people with kids in here. Do your kids fight sometimes? I think so. I mean, me and Kirk never did. That was our sister's job. They fought. But when my kids don't understand consequences. The other day, just for an example, one of them hit the other one with a shovel, and the other one took the shovel and hit him back. Her back, him back. I can't remember which way it was. That's not good. Not good. It's dangerous. Like, don't do that. But they don't understand the consequences. Now, some of my kids are getting old enough to now. Some of my kids will understand the consequences. But we don't understand at a young age a lot of things. Even now, we don't even have to talk about age in number. We can talk about age spiritual life too. If we're young in Christ, we have to be careful where we go. We have to be careful about the people that we surround ourselves with. One time, I was working at a place, and And they called me preacher. Nobody ever knew my name. Called me preacher. I'm pretty sure the boss. I'm pretty sure there's like one person in the whole place that knew my name because they all called me preacher. And I get a call one night, and they were all down at the bar having dinner, and they wanted me to come down and have dinner. And I was like, well, I could probably go down and have dinner with them. But then I got to thinking, are we having dinner? Is that what we're doing? And I was talking to another buddy of mine. He's like, well, is there a desire to go? I'm like, well, there's a desire to spend time with these people, but there's not a desire to do what they're going to be doing. And they were specifically, and later I kind of found out that they were specifically trying to get me there to try and influence me to do other things. We have to be careful where we go as young Christians. I have to be careful about who we're with. Evil people will always be around. Evil people have always been there. And we have got to make sure that we do not participate in their things. Now, there's evil men. Imposters, it says. They will continue to be that way. They will continue to deceive and be deceived. But what does he say to Timothy? What is Timothy supposed to do? After talking about the persecution in verse 10, 11, 12, and talking about what he had done, what Paul had done, we'll just go ahead and read it again. It says in verse 10 of chapter 3, but you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and in Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Actually, we're right close there, so just go down a couple of verses. We'll jump down to verse 3. It says, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Think that's happened? He wasn't telling Timothy in year 2022 this is going to happen. He was telling Timothy a time will come. And I'm pretty sure if he was telling Timothy, Timothy was going to have to handle a little bit of it. Evil men have always been here. Evil men have always been around. But the difference is we can either join them, we can focus on how to stop them, we can move forward with our walk, we can push forward with the gospel. We have choices to make. What do we do? And we don't have to sit there and focus on the evil men. If you're always sitting there focusing on the evil men and what they're doing, you're not going to have any effect on them whatsoever. But if you're focusing on moving forward with the gospel, preaching the gospel and moving forward in your walk, and getting more grounded in the scriptures, you're going to have an impact. And you're going to be able to see those things before it happens. We were having a conversation recently, and this is something that I think that is very important. We have to be far enough advanced in our thoughts. Now, I'll just kind of give an example here. Let's just say me and Kirk and Dad are out looking at cows, right? And we have a straight Angus herd, right? Okay, so all black, lean, no muscle. Hardee's does a good job advertising for them. That's what they are, Angus cattle, okay? Straight black cattle. Now, there's a lot of black hided cows that aren't Angus cattle. So now, Kirk and I are looking at this cow, and we can tell she's got Angus in her, but we can also see some Simmental, all right? So Simmental is a more muscular black-hided, and they can be red-hided as well, but they give a little bit more muscle in the body. Okay, so we can look at a cow, and we can say, okay, that cow has some Angus in her and probably has some Simmental, and we can picture that really easily. because we've been around it a lot. But now if another cow was to come that had some limousine in it, Kirk and I have been around for a while, but Dad's been around for a little longer. He might be able to pick out the limousine and the Simmental and maybe even a touch of Salir in that cow. But because he knows exactly what the Angus cow looks like, he can pick those things out because, well, Angus cattle don't have that double muscle in their hip. Well, that comes from the limousine. Well, Angus cattle don't have the curly cues necessarily on their tail and on their forehead like maybe the Salirs would. So you can pick that out. But see, he's been around for a while and can pick those things out. Now, I know that there's people in here that have no idea what I just was talking about. Damien, come on, buddy. You come hang out. We'll get you straightened up. Learn about some different colored cows. But the thing is if we didn't have people who knew about those other things, who knew about, who had been around, see, Dad could pick that up right away. And anymore, me and Kirk could too, but at the time we couldn't. And see, it's the same thing with the gospel. When we're preaching the gospel and we're talking about different things and people coming in, you see, I can look at the signs around the congregations around town, and I can pretty much tell you what they're going to believe. Because I've studied with pretty much everybody with those different beliefs. So I can pretty much tell you what they're going to teach. But 10 years ago, I might have only been able to pick out one or two, maybe three, I don't know. But the point is that the further we get along in this stuff, the better chance we're going to have to be able to pick out the false doctrines. See, false doctrines come in looking like good doctrines. But if you aren't advanced enough in the scriptures, you're not going to be able to see them. And we have to continue to do that. And I can pick out quite a few things, but I promise you there's a lot of dudes around that can pick out a lot more than I could. Somebody comes in and just, we hear a sermon that sounds pretty good, everything's kind of saying the right themes, but somebody says, you know, he made one comment, and I didn't catch it. We were recently in a place, and Kirk and I were talking about the sermon afterwards, and I was thinking that, you know, the guy had a pretty good sermon. I wasn't sure what to expect, but he had a pretty good sermon. And afterwards, we were just talking about some different stuff, Kirk made the comment that the guy just didn't have any focus, didn't have the right focus. And I was like, I had to go back and kind of think about it a little bit. And I asked him, I said, well, what were you meaning by that? And it was like one line the guy said, and I was like, you know, I caught that a little bit, but I wasn't really paying attention enough to get the rest of the message out of that. But that's what it was. The guy had the wrong focus, but Kirk was able to pick out, he heard that one line that changed the whole perspective of the rest of the sermon. I didn't hear it for sure. I didn't pick that out. But together we can pick those things out. Now there's times where Jane and I have been at a place in a different state, and not to name names, it was a Christian church. And after the sermon, Jane and I were talking. Of course, she's got four kids that she takes care of, and I kind of just watch the sermon most of the time. So we're talking about this sermon and the guy that was preaching, and I was just fuming. Oh, I was so irritated because the guy absolutely butchered the word of God. And Jane didn't think he did good, but she was like, so what did you pick out? You know, and I picked out, I was just like, boom, 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 you know, all these things. But 10 years ago, I absolutely would never have picked him out. Absolutely would not have picked him out. But the guy absolutely butchered the word of God. We have to advance ourselves to be able to see those things and to understand how to fight evil. The best chance we have at that is to know good. The best offense or the best defense is a good offense. They always talk about in sports, right? The best battle when you're in battle, you don't retreat to win the battle. You advance to win the battle. There's no going back. But we have to understand what our vision is, what our path is, and we have to go forth and continue on to that. We have to understand the truth before we can fight the false. You can't fight the false by learning about the false. Now, I understand, and I'm all for with different things in life. Ken and I have talked about this quite a bit I think there's some others here that understand the person that absolutely only watches Fox News. And And I used to watch Fox News quite a bit, too. Kirk and I were listening to the radio yesterday, and the news came on. Kirk's like, man, I haven't heard the news in months on the radio. And because usually it's just 5 minutes of garbage. But if all you ever watch is Fox News, even when Fox News is on, which is more and more, I think, all the time, you still kind of believe what Fox News is saying. Now, I don't think that we should watch MSNBC, you know, more than Fox News, necessarily, just to do that. But if we're stuck on one thing, unless it's the Scriptures, now, if it's the Scriptures, we can be stuck on the Scriptures. But if we're looking at other things in life, like, say, news, if we're stuck on one news station, we're going to start believing what that news station's saying. Even if you're a conservative person and you watch MSNBC every single day, all day long, you're going to start having some of those thoughts. That's what's going to happen. If you're a liberal person, all you ever watch is Newsmax, you're probably going to get a few thoughts that are maybe a little better. But that's just what happens. But when it comes to good and evil, when it comes to the Scriptures, I'm absolutely never going to go study Darwinism to be able to talk about creation. It's not going to happen. You're not going to learn about creation by studying evolution. You're not going to learn about Jesus by studying about Muhammad. Now, I did a little study of Muhammad. Guy was a dirtbag. No two ways about it. I wrote a paper on it in college. But the point I'm trying to make, and I hope this is coming across, the point I'm trying to make is that we cannot spend the majority of our time focusing on the bad in order to stop the bad. We have to focus on the good. And we have to have the mindset that we are going to win. And we have to have the mindset that through truth, good will always beat evil. Even though we might lose some battles, the war has already been won because of Christ. We need to move on. Verse 14, 15. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but as for you, speak the things that are fitting for sound doctrine. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. It says, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for all men. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, it says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. See, he talks about all, if you go back and you read the context of those passages, he's talking about lots of evil stuff the guys are doing. And then he says, but you, O man of God, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue gentleness, pursue the good things that you are supposed to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. Verse 16. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. there's some things in here, in this little passage right there. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for three things here. Actually, one more than that. For teaching, okay, we've got that. For reproof, for a correction. Okay, you know what that means? If the Word of God is profitable for that, you know what that means? That means that some of that's going to have to happen. There has to be correction sometimes, and it's not easy. It's tough. We know all about it from back in the days of the Old Church of Christ. Correction had to happen there a little more often. because guys were getting off. It's tough. It's not fun. Nobody likes it. But it has to happen. It has to happen, and it has to happen quickly. Because if you let that stuff fester, and you let it be around, pretty soon there's a big problem. Now, I know of a congregation right now that is possibly going through a split. And it has got me thinking. And sometimes they're inevitable. Sometimes people just make choices. But there's other times in other congregations that there's been splits that I've known about that absolutely could have been avoided if somebody from the pulpit or somebody from the seats would have stood up and said, enough. Would have stood up and done something about it. Because the Word of God is there for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's not there for me to stand up here every single Sunday and say, go love everybody, accept everybody how they are, come as you are, stay as you are, be as you are. That is absolutely not what it's for. It is there to change people. The sign on the back of the wall at some of the congregations I've been to, come as you are. It's great. I don't care what you are like out there. You are welcome to join us in studying the Scriptures. Absolutely love it. But they had better figure out pretty darn quick that there has got to be change. That there has got to be change in their life if they're going to stay following God. You see, we keep hearing about the free gift. The free gift of salvation. There's absolutely nothing free about it. In fact, it costs you absolutely everything that you've got. Your whole entire lives it's going to cost you. And we have to get that through our minds before it's too late. Because persecution will come. Evil men will continue to be evil, and evil men will deceive and be deceived, and we do not want to be part of it. All Scripture is inspired by God for profit and profitable for teaching and for correction and reproof, and it is something that sometimes has to be done. And sometimes when it's not, there's big problems. Sometimes when there's not, it's big problems. And it brings people down, not just in the congregation, but it pulls people away from the faith. It leads people down bad paths. And it sends people to hell. Sometimes we have to make the tough decisions and we have to have the tough conversations. So that when the day is done, none of us are disqualified, but we all can receive the crown of righteousness. We absolutely have to do it. Chapter 4, verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For a time will come, and we've already read this, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He told them about all these guys that are going to be doing this stuff, and then he says, but you continue on preaching the gospel. There's no other choice you can make. You have to do it, because nobody else will. Yesterday we were watching a football game. First play of the game, the other team, and I'm going to brag on Rylan here. A tall kid, what was he? Probably, he was relatively quite a little bigger than you, wasn't he, Rylan? Yeah? What's that? 5'6", maybe. Okay. He's a big, tall guy. he came around the edge, and he ran right into Rylan. We got to run right over top of him, and kind of made it over top of him, but Rylan tackled him. Wrapped him up and took him right to the ground. There was nobody behind that guy to stop him if you didn't tackle him. You were the last line of defense to the end zone. You had to make the tackle. That is what Paul is telling Timothy. That is what Paul is telling Titus. And that is what he is telling us. We are the last line of defense. We have got to preach the gospel. We have got to stop the evil. And we have to move forward with the gospel so that people can be pulled out of the fire and brought into the kingdom of Christ. It has to happen. It's us or nobody. I don't know if we've noticed, we've been talking about this quite a bit, about expanding to other towns. There's how far is it between Billings and Glendive? 211 miles, I think, that's from Circle Exit to BLS. 211 miles. No congregations. And it's not just no congregations. The other direction, too, you go from Glendive east. How far is it to Bellevue, Michigan? I don't know. Was it 1,800 miles, probably? I don't know. Something like that, probably. It's not that there's no congregations. And there might be some that we don't know about, that we haven't accompanied, that we haven't been around to talk about things. But there's nobody going door to door. There's nobody going and having studies with people either. It's not just that there's not a congregation. There's nobody preaching the gospel. Now, there's people preaching a gospel, but it's not the gospel. Now, it's possible that there's some places around, and I fully believe that sometimes in Christ Church we get the idea that maybe we're the only ones, and I think that there's more. I definitely believe that there's more. There's people out there who are fighting for righteousness and teaching the good things. But still, I've been around Miles City. Ain't nobody there doing it. I know people in Miles City who could be doing it but aren't doing it. I know people in different places that could be doing it but aren't doing it. And what that means is that people there are not getting taught the gospel. We are the last line of defense between them and hell. And unless we picture that, unless we envision those people suffering for all eternity, we're just gonna kind of keep moving on a little bit. We have absolutely got to pull it together and stop those people from going to hell. We've got to snatch them out of the fire. Without us, who's going to teach them? Without a preacher, who's going to hear? Who's going to teach them? That doesn't mean from the pulpit, that means in our everyday lives. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 11, we read it, but we're going to continue on after that. But flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things of Christ and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and the only sovereign of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Turn over to 2 Timothy, chapter 4. We'll start again in verse 5. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I, and Paul speaking here, am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Mom used to have the saying on the front of the bulletin when she was doing the bulletin back in the day. This is our I think it was something like our purpose, or our purpose is to go to heaven, something like that. Our purpose is to go to heaven. Our mission is to take as many as possible with us. It was paraphrased, but something like that. That should be our goal, to get to heaven and take as many with us as possible. To do that, we absolutely have got to understand truth. We have to take it forth, whether it be persecution, whether it be peace. We have got to move forward with the gospel so that people who are on the pathway to hell can be turned back and make it to heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning that we could be together to study your word, Lord, to encourage one another, take part in your Lord's Supper, Lord, that we'll do in a little bit here. And I just thank you for your love. Lord, I just pray that, that as we go through our lives, that we might not be ashamed of the gospel, Lord, but that we might be bold in our lives in proclaiming you to this lost world, Lord. Lord, I just pray that we can just envision ourselves, Lord, being that light to the person in the darkness that is seeking to come out of it, Lord, that we might be that pathway to help them to know you. Lord, I just pray that we can make the steps this week, that we might do what we can to help further your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you give each and every one of us here this morning the courage to stand firm in the faith, to fight the good fight, Lord. Lord, and we know from your scripture that we just read that if we continue in that, Lord, that there's a crown of righteousness laid up in heaven for us, Lord, that on that day you will give to us, on that day that we might be with you forever. Lord, I just thank you for your love, and I thank you for Jesus, and we pray these things in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.